We've all been raised on television to believe that one day we'd all be millionaires and movie gods and rock stars. But we won't. We're slowly learning that fact. And we're very, very pissed off. Yeah.
Guess who's not serving jury duty? That's right, me. I'm not. That's a whole big story for this week, for this time, for this adventure. Hey, everybody, welcome. Before we get into jury duty, let's talk about the music for today. Lizzie. So Lizzie is an artist. So let's back up. So there's this TV show called Loudermilk. And Loudermilk is a terrible name for a TV show. And it stars Ron Livingston, who plays the lead in Office Space, who I cannot remember when that character's name is. But anyway, he plays a alcoholic group therapy counselor, and pretty much everybody in his life is an alcoholic, including his roommate, played by Will Sasso, and the woman is somebody that I don't remember her name and have not seen before, but she's great too. Anyway, so Loudermilk is the character's name, and his last name, Sam Loudermilk, and it's a really great show. And his character used to be a rock critic before he drank himself into oblivion. So one of the things, and I'm not going to ruin how this all happens, but there is a part of his past comes back, and it is this character who is a rock and roller in real life. And her name is Lizzie, L-I-S-S-I-E. She has 3 albums out, and this is one of them. So let's give it a listen. Okay, great. I picked the one spot where it's not interesting. Well, anyway, we'll get into her a little later. But anyway, it's streaming now on Netflix. It's very funny. I highly recommend Loudermilk. Really? You couldn't have just pepped it up a little bit? All right, anyway, so let's see. What else did we do since I've spoken to you last? Oh, yes, right. Jury duty. So I got summoned for jury duty a while ago. I can't even remember how long ago it was. And in typical Alan fashion, I forgot. I forgot all about it. I put the little card with my parking pass on the whiteboard. I put it in the calendar. I tried to remember. I really did, and I did not. And I just didn't think anything of it, right? In the past, when I have, again, in true Alan fashion, I have frequently forgotten about things. In the past, I have called them up and I said, hey, sorry, I messed up. I forgot I had jury duty. And they said, oh, that's okay. We've checked in the system. There is no bench warrant out for your arrest. So I think you're fine. Now, I don't know if that woman was kidding or not. Some people have a real messed up sense of humor. Some people are not funny and should not attempt to be funny. Here's a little bit more Lizzie. No, damn it, I missed it again. All right, never mind. Anyway, so I just kind of thought that was the way it went, right? Like, you missed it, either they arrest you or they don't, which seems insane now that I say that out loud. So this time, I ignored it. I had missed it. I not told anybody at work that I told everybody at work, oh, I'm going to be on jury duty. And I did not tell anybody that I missed it. So when they sent me the letter the second time saying, hey, dumbass, you missed jury duty, I had to pretend like it had been a year. Oh, look at that. It's been a year already. Because that's how long, you know, if you serve on jury duty, then they have to wait a whole year before they can summon you again. But so I had to pretend, oh, it's been a year. Wow, look at that. Look at time fly. Ooh. Okay, so here is the big hit off of this big hit. This is the song that she plays in the show, Louder Milk. And I can't remember what the name of the song is. But anyway, let's take a listen to this. Anyway, so this album is called Catching a Tiger, if you're interested. All right, so back to jury duty. So then I am all set to go to jury duty and I get sick. And the kid winds up getting COVID, all because of we went to her school play, and so I get the flu, right? Okay, so then I go to the guy and I say, I go to the thing, I got my mask on, and I'm like, hey, I'm sick, my kid's got COVID, and they were like, oh, well, you could have just emailed the thing. And I was like, hey, and I didn't want to argue with this woman. I was just like, bitch, last time I emailed, it took them a week to get back to me. Like, this was on the day of, like, and then she's like, okay, well, here's your jury summons. Here you go. And I'm like, great. We put it off for a little bit. So then I finally go again, and oh my God, I have never felt so much like veal in my life. The first of all, the courthouse is like it's like 10 stories tall and has not been touched since the 70s. And so it is cold and dark and outdated and gross. And so I go, I'm supposed to be there at 10 a.m. And I get there and we're just sitting around. And the 10 a.m. thing was weird because in the past, I've always had to show up at 8:30. But hey, look, don't get me wrong. I was thrilled to have the later arrival, but okay. So I show up at 10 and they put us, the jury duty waiting room is in the basement. It is windowless, sad, it's cold. Like it is cold. And I'm, you know, thank God, you know, I've got my hat, I've got my hands jammed in my pockets. I'm watching, I'm just doing anything to pass the time. So I'm watching The Holdovers on Peacock, and that whole movie takes place in the snow, and everybody's lonely, and the school is shut down, and the heat is off, and I'm just like, God damn, I feel like I'm living this movie. It's so uncomfortable. So I'm in, and then every hour and a half, they get a call down from the courtroom and they say, oh yeah, it'll be another hour and a half. Okay. So you're just sitting there like you can't do anything. You can't go anywhere. You just don't know when they're going to need you. So we're getting close to 4 p.m. Right. And like, they don't do anything like this shit shuts down at 5 p.m. You are done. So I'm like, okay. So 4 p.m. comes along and I'm like, if they're not going to start jury selection now, that's insane. Because there's no way they're going to get it done in an hour. They'll just stop it, you know, and continue on tomorrow. Sure enough, like this woman comes down from on high, where we learn is from the 10th floor. She comes down and she says, okay, well, they're not going to start jury selection today. It's 4 p.m. So why don't you come, we'll see you later and you'll come back tomorrow at 8:30. And I'm like, wait, what? No. We're supposed to be done. I was just supposed to have jury duty for like this one day unless you picked me. No, that's tomorrow's people's problem. And they were like, haha, joke's on you. If you are in jury duty, you know, if you are assigned to this case, so until this case, this, you know, until they pick everybody, you are assigned to this case. Oh, damn it. So now I gotta come back tomorrow. So then we get in there, and thank God this time we are not in the jury room. We're not in the basement. We go right up to the 10th floor and we get into the courtroom. Now, one of the key things also about the jury selection, the jury holding pen, the basement, is the chairs suck, right? The chairs are fine. They're just regular old hotel conference room audience chairs, right? You know, they're not terrible, but they're not meant to be sat in for 6 hours like we did yesterday. And they're especially not meant to, like, balance a phone on my knee with my hands jammed in my pocket so I'm trying to watch my streaming movie. Look, don't get me wrong. It sounds great, right? It is not. It sucks. But anyway, thank God they had Wi-Fi. Oh, dear God. I mean, I'll read a book if I have to, but thank goodness for streaming that I didn't have to. And thank goodness for Peacock that there was actually something on it that I wanted to watch. And that wasn't, you know, just porn. Because you never know with some of these streamers. They'll throw a nude scene in there now and then. You're like, uh-oh. All right, I hope nobody's paying attention. So this time we're in the jury room. And there, the seats are really nice. I mean, the audience seats are all theater seats, which are not great, but they're okay. But if you're in the jury box, they swivel and rotate and lean back, and they are meant to be sat in for 8 hours a day, because that's what's going to be happening. So we get into the jury box. I mean, we get into the courtroom, and the first thing I notice is how weird the way they've decorated it. They've got little tchotchkes on a cabinet. They've got album covers from like classic rock bands and band posters on the walls. And I'm like, okay, I get it. I'm sorry, judge, court stenographer, everybody who is, this is your job. But this is also somebody's life on the line, right? Like, it's weird that you've tried to make it all homey. Hang on, I gotta go let the cat out. Bagging red, catching a tiger, baiting a bully. Was this my idea? Is it a mistake? Why did you take me here? Okay, so, and it's just, yeah, somebody's life is in the balance here, and I'm staring at a poster of Simon and Garfunkel, and I'm like, oh, all right. And during the jury selection process, they were like really overly jokey too. They were like, oh, you got any trips planned? Anybody's going to Las Vegas? Yeah, Hawaii there? You know, it's like, okay, I know, again, it sucks. Your job sucks. Being in this building sucks. But, you know, for that guy who's in the defense chair, I don't care if he's guilty. You know, he's proven innocent. Just, you know, he's up on the jokes, all right? He's not in the mood for jokes. Nice words and play with intention. We get in there, and one of the things, obviously, that they have to do is the jury has to prove beyond reasonable doubt that this guy is guilty of this crime. Everybody asks me, I don't know why, but they always ask me, you know, when I have been talking about, you know, this jury duty thing, people have been asking me, what did he do? What kind of trial would it have been? And I was like, oh, it was a burglary charge. And I think people are disappointed that it's not a murder or something. I don't know. That's weird. But it's still beyond reasonable doubt. And so when we get into the courtroom, though, I thought that's when the jury selection process was going to start. But I look, they've already selected 10 of the 12 jurors. You remember 12 Angry Men? That's where the number comes from. They've got 10 jurors, so they need a total of 12 and 2 alternates, right? So they need 4 more people. Now, I'm looking around at our group, we were about 40 people, 40 people. And somehow they managed, and I'm sure that the previous group of that day, that group that did show up at 8:30 a.m., and we were the 10 a.m., the 8:30 group probably also had about 40 people in it. So somehow they managed to burn through 30 other people that, you know, 10 of which we know were dismissed. But then the other 20, like, how did they get out of it? What were they doing? Although I did see one guy, when asked if he could be an impartial juror, he just said, "Nope, I can't because I don't like that man's race." And they were like, "Okay, see you later. Good day, sir." And so I was surprised that somebody just felt comfortable saying that. So there you go. So then we're in the courtroom, and so they need 4 more people. So what they do is they get, I think they got like 10 more people from the audience called what appeared to be randomly. I thought it would, you know, in the order of roll call. Nope, just totally random, I guess, unless there's something else going on that I don't know about. But anyway, so they call up 10 more people and they just fill in all the extra vacant seats. Some people were just sitting on the steps. And the prosecuting attorney, now his job, remember, is to prove beyond reasonable doubt, right? So then he starts asking people, he starts painting a picture. And on the surface, what it sounds like he's doing is painting the picture of what is, it's the explanation of what is reasonable doubt. But what he's really doing is he's trying to figure out who the people are that, how do I put this, push the boundaries really far of what reasonable doubt is. So for instance, what he was doing was he was saying like, hey, you know, reasonable doubt is this and this, and obviously there's always going to be some crazy scenario where it can't be that, but, you know, reasonable doubt, right? Like, so for instance, let's say there's puddles on the ground, the leaves are off the tree, it's crisp in the air, you're walking down the streets. Isn't it reasonable to assume that it's fall? And then most people said, yeah, and nodded their head. Yeah, yeah, it's fall. Of course, I'm sitting in the audience going, well, no, that could be winter as well. I mean, it's California. It's never snowing. So, yeah, I think it's reasonable to assume it's either fall or winter. So, no, it's not reasonable to assume it's autumn or fall. And then, so, you know, some people raise their hands, though. They go, yeah, reasonable doubt, autumn. Yeah, sure, fall. Right, got it. And then he adds to the scenario. Oh, okay, well, you know, what about if it's this? And then, you know, finally, by the third round, he's like, now you're seeing kids in Halloween costumes, and they're doing, you know, and they're trick-or-treating. Isn't it fair to say that it's fall? And then finally, you know, the last of the holdouts are like, yeah, it's fair that it's fall. And then wouldn't you know it, the people who were the last of the holdouts, the people who had to wait till they get to the third round of this fairy tale, they're the ones that get booted because they're the ones who aren't going to convict this guy because they're the ones who are really pushing the definition of what reasonable doubt is. You know, I don't know. Who knows? It could be anything. Oh, Whenever you get anywhere with a large, diverse population of people, there's always going to be a weirdo, right? So this weirdo in our group was named Boris. And Boris, English was clearly not his first language. I think he was probably Russian. He was older than me. I think he had a little trouble hearing. And he was trying though, right? He was really trying to be attentive and, you know, whenever his name was called, you know, he'd snap to and, you know, get to where, and he had his foot in one of those little scooters, like when you break your foot and you can't put any pressure on it. And so you put your knee in a scooter and you kind of push yourself along. So a couple of times somebody would say something that sounded like somebody had a last name that kind of sounded like Boris, and good old Boris would be like, "What?" Yeah, like he wouldn't, you know, and then I would just have to look over at him and put my hand on his shoulder and just be like, not you. And he'd be like, oh, okay. And he'd settle back down again. And, Boris, No, not you. But he didn't even make it into the box. He never got called out of the audience. And then both the prosecution and the defense get to just randomly pick, or, I mean, it's thought out, obviously, but they don't have to justify it. But they can dismiss up to 10 people. So prosecution gets 10, defense gets 10, right? So they go through like the first round of interviews and you know, they've got 10 people from yesterday, and they've got 10 new people from there today who all got to hear the fairy tale of Reasonable Doubt or whatever. And then they say to the prosecution, do you want to dismiss anybody? And he's like, yeah, I'll dismiss juror 3 and juror 5. And I'm like, what? No, those people are from yesterday. What are you doing getting rid of yesterday's people? Come on, you only needed 4 more people. Now we need 6 more people? No, come on. I don't want to serve on this jury. Although I don't know why I care. I mean, serve, don't serve. I mean, I think the one thing that maybe I got weird about the idea of serving on jury duty is that maybe I just don't like the idea of somebody's fate being in my hands. And maybe I'm not comfortable with that. They got down to the last people that they had called up, the first chunk of 10 that they had called up, and they had whittled through, you know, I guess what would that be, 4 of them, and they had the last few people left, and they were like, yep, okay, this is it, everybody go home. Whew, dodged a bullet there. Okay, well, that's enough talk about jury duty. So I didn't have to, I never even got interviewed, so fine, good. Okay, so what else happened is, we went to Sketchfest. SF Sketchfest happens at the last, it's later January, early February, with a break in the middle for the Super Bowl. And it was good. It was a good time. I mean, off book always proves to be amazing. I highly recommend listening to the off book episode. The off book is the improvised musical podcast, and they get a suggestion from the audience and then make a whole musical based on that recommendation. And yours truly, meaning me, gets to ask a question at the end of the show. And I think I make it into the episode. I mean, they usually include the questions in the episode and the podcast. So hopefully, and my question got a laugh. So there you go. Some of the performances were disappointing. Oh my God. Here's one thing that was really kind of a bummer. So we went to see the Paul F. Tompkins show, known as Varietopia. And always a good time. Paul is amazing. I feel for the people at SF Sketchfest because they're always trying to grow the show and add more shows and, you know, which means venues, right? You know, there's only so many venues they can go to. And this time, so a long running show that hasn't been around for a minute was a show called Beach Blanket Babylon. And it was a big time deal. It ran for like 20 years. The guy who started the show died of complications of AIDS. And I think, you know, it was a tough show to run. And without him helming the ship, I think they just couldn't keep it going. And so it closed. But the place where they did the show still exists. So it is now called, as Paul F. Tompkins put it, Club Fugazi! Hey, the Fugazi! Yes, Club Fugazi. So when it was Beach Blanket Babylon, the whole show was low, just dining room tables, round dining room tables. And I can't remember if there was food or not. And then there was a stage, and the stage is still there, but the stage is rather short. The stage is probably only 4 feet off the ground. And then I guess the new management came in and they were like, well, we'd like to pack more people in. We'd like to make more money. And so they changed it to high stools and, you know, like narrow tables, right? Because you can fit, you know, a lot more long, skinny tables in a room than you can round tables. And so so we're up on these high skinny tables, I mean high skinny stools, and now we are much higher. We are much higher than even the stage at this point. And so if anybody tall sits in front of you, which they did, it makes the stage performers a lot harder to see. So that kind of sucked. It was just like, oh, I don't know how long you guys have been doing this, but you clearly have not figured this out yet, because this blows. It would be okay if they could just chop all the legs down on the stools and lower the tables, and you could still have the long skinny tables, but it's just so high now, unless you raise the stage, which seems impossible and unsafe. Yeah, it just seems like a bad idea. Now, one thing that was very strange at that Club Fugazi show, I was in the bathroom, and it wasn't Fugazi, it was at the Marines War Memorial Theater. I'm in the bathroom, and these guys are talking at the hand washing station, as we say, the sink. And one guy says to the other, oh, now you have an inconsistent stream and I have a constant dribble. There'll be another hand to hold. It was unclear to me whether or not these two people knew each other. Now, even if we did know each other, I'm not sure how ready I would be to talk about my friend's pee stream in a public space. And I'm assuming that's what it means by an inconsistent stream, right? I don't think they're talking about a movie, you know, or I don't think they're talking about Netflix. I'm pretty sure they're talking about pee. And then if they're not friends, then that gets real weird. Now, just, you know, strangers are listening to you zit, 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 you know, your inconsistent stream, which I've certainly heard many people. Not once did I think to comment on it. So, yeah, you know, you never know what you're going to get when you meet a bunch of weirdos in a public venue. Okay, well, from me, from the music of Bright Brown and Lizzie, let's do this one more time. Till